First and Second Timothy were written by the Apostle Paul, seeking to instruct Timothy, who was a young minister in the gospel. In First Timothy, the emphasis is largely on the pastoral interests associated within the church, how the church is governed, its responsibility, its ministry and prayer concerning the care of its members. However, in 2 Timothy, the emphasis is laid on the minister of Christ, focusing on his service that he is to exercise for the Lord's glory. And no doubt, as there is the emphasis on the man of God, there is that wider application to all the people of God, for we are all to live for the glory of God. Timothy, like ourselves, lived in a day of spiritual declension. There was a departure from hearing the word of God, hearing the true preaching of God's word. Therefore, as Paul exhorts Timothy, in a day when it is or was unpopular to live for God and to preach the gospel, then continue to preach the gospel and continue to live for God. When it is counted shameful to be identified with the gospel of Christ, then, Timothy, don't be ashamed to be identified with the gospel of Christ. Rather, live near the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was saying to Timothy, in a day of coldness, in a day of compromise, in a day of carelessness with regard to the things of God, when so-called preachers are losing their grip on the true preaching of God's word, and the people are losing their zeal for the hearing of the word of God, what are we to do? What is our course of action? What is our response? How do we handle such a situation? Are we just to go with the flow? Are we just to join in? Are we just to sit back? Are we just to say, well, we live in the last days, and that's the way things are supposed to be? And while we don't doubt that we live in the last days, yet we are still to live for God until the Saviour comes back, until the Lord comes back in all his glory for his people. We are still to be busy about our Father's business. We are to have a ministry like John the Baptist to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. And so in a day of spiritual declension, of weariness, of a lack of hearing the word of God, of a lack of interest in the things of God, when there is a wavering back and forth, Paul says to Timothy in verse 13, here's what you are to do. Here's what God commands us to do, Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words. Those words there, hold fast, are one word in the original, and it simply means not to let go. It means to protect, to be firm, to keep, to maintain. And so you could read it that way. Hold fast, maintain, keep, protect. Timothy, don't let go of the form of sound words. The idea is stand your ground, Timothy. Don't loosen the grip. Don't retreat. Don't abandon your posts. Yes, there are those who once preached the gospel faithfully, but now they have gone back on what they once preached. There are those who once attended the house of God faithfully, week after week, and now they don't. There are those who attended the place of prayer week after week, but now they don't. But Timothy, you hold fast, guard, keep, maintain, don't loosen the grip, don't retreat, don't go back, don't waver, don't lose interest. Rather, be on alert. Get back to the posts. Stay alert. Be faithful in an unfaithful day. Live holy in an unholy day. Be the light of the world in a dark world. Be the salt of the earth in a corrupt earth. And that message that Paul gave to Timothy is the same message to each and every one of us today. You may not be a preacher of the gospel, but we are all still called as the people of God to live for God, to hold fast the form of sound doctrine, that in our prayer, in our Bible reading, in our practical living, we are still to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for the glory of God. And therefore, Paul says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. That is the word the Lord has laid upon my heart, not only for my ministry here in South Grove. I take the Lord's word to my heart for South Grove, Philip. Hold fast the form of sound words. To this congregation, hold fast the form of sound words. Churches around us may be going into bypath meadows, bringing in things that's wrong, taking out which is right. But we must hold fast the form of sound words. Notice four simple thoughts. First of all, the proclamation of sound words. Paul exhorts Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. Now, if you are taking notes or you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, and as you know already by my preaching in times gone by in this congregation, we always have something marked because it helps you in Bible reading at home. The word for sound, when it says hold fast the form of sound words, the word sound means healthy. And so we can say hold fast the form of healthy words. And we'll look about that word a bit more later on. So Paul proclaims to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, of healthy words. The thought of sound or healthy words does not mean to speak as a philosopher. Paul is not telling Timothy to try and soothe people, to try and be a philosopher, to preach to the mind, or to preach in a way to please people, to ignore sin, or to go light on sin. For that would be unsound. That would be unhealthy. Rather, Paul is saying to Timothy, as we live in an unhealthy and unsound society, in a fallen world, proclaim that which is sound, that which is healthy. And what is healthy? What is sound? It is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is sound words. That is what is healthy teaching. Paul writes in verse 8 of this sound doctrine, of these healthy words. They are the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it is that good thing which was committed unto thee. And so Paul is teaching Timothy that God had committed unto him as a preacher of the gospel what he had also committed to Paul himself. In other words, Timothy, the Lord does not give different messages to different men. I'm glad that I can say here that the message that Reverend Ferguson preached from this pulpit was the same message that the Reverend Baker preached from this pulpit. And it is the same message that I will preach from this pulpit. There are not different messages for different men. It is one message, one Savior, one way of salvation. And so, if men are ever to find acceptance with God, if you're ever to live the Christian life, it will be through the Word of God, through sound teaching. Because Paul said to Timothy, hold fast, guard, keep the form of sound, healthy words. Notice, which thou hast heard of me. And the phrase, hast heard of me, is in what is termed as a completed action. But the results are still continuing, are still a benefit. In other words, from the time Paul heard sound preaching and he passed that message on, others benefited from it. Timothy benefited from it. And then when Timothy passed the message on, those who heard it from Timothy benefited from the message. That time when Paul was given the gospel, when Paul heard the gospel for the first time, whenever he was converted, whenever he got saved, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him the gospel, he then told it on to others. And we today still benefit from the word that was given. It is, 'tis old, yet ever new and true. Paul spoke of that time whenever he was converted to Christ, and then the Lord taught him the gospel. He said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, but I certify you, or I assure you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so there Paul was saying, when I received the gospel, I received it from the Lord himself. He took me aside and he instructed me. He gave me his message, the same message that he had given to Abraham, the same message that he had given to Adam, all about redemption through the Savior. Timothy, that's the message that I've given you. That's the message I'm telling you, Timothy, to hold on to guard, not to change it. The Lord Jesus said himself in John 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures, referring to the Old Testament, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Why did the Savior say, search the Scriptures? Why did he not say, go and get some wee book out of the library, or some wee Reader's Digest, or some wee magazine, or something someone down the road on the market is selling? He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. The Scriptures testify of Christ. They're all about Christ. That's why when Peter responded to the Lord's question, when many disciples had walked away, and the Lord turned round to the 12 and said, will ye also walk away or go away? What did Peter respond to him? He said in John 6, verse 69, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou has the words of eternal life. It is Christ that has the words. And therefore, it is sound teaching that we need. You see, man needs sound teaching because by nature, man is a rebel. And he is viewed by God as unsound and unhealthy. And therefore, man needs life-giving words, life-transforming words. Man by nature is a sinner. There's no man born on the road to heaven. There's no man born here with a perfect righteousness. There's no man born here who is the exception. We're all the children of wrath, even as others, all born shaped in iniquity. And therefore, God views us. Now, you may look in the mirror and view yourself as wonderful and beautiful. However, when God views us, he views us as unclean and unholy in his sight. We learn that, don't we, from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. Isaiah, speaking about the nation, really gives the description of how God views men. He said, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel on the anger. They are gone away backward. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even on to the head, that means the whole man, there is no soundness in it. Man is unhealthy by nature because man is a lost sinner. Why? Goes on. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And therefore, man by nature is unhealthy and will always do that which is in agreement to his nature. Because we are born sinners by nature, our practices, our pleasures, our programs will be in agreement to our nature. And therefore, we need sound words, because Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is that truth? It is the truth of sound words. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. A life will only be transformed by these sound words. Proclaim sound words. And that is the message that this preacher must take. And that is the message that each one of us in the pew must take as well. That every time God's word is preached in this house and lived in the streets of London, may it be sound words, healthy words that are proclaimed, because that is the only thing that will strengthen believers and see sinners saved. May the Lord make us to be channel of blessings, to be burning and shining lights for him, the proclamation of sound words. But notice secondly, the pattern for sound words. Again, Paul said to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. And the word form, it means a pattern. It means imitation. It means an outline, a sketch, to copy. And so the words signify to pass on, to copy. In other words, keep the original, don't change. The idea of the word form then is taken from an artist. You see people painting. Maybe you want to take Big Ben, or you want to take Buckingham Palace. You take yourself. Someone may draw a picture of you. You may go somewhere and you'll see these people. Listen, come on over here, let me draw a wee picture of you. And what they will do your outline. They will do a copy of you or a copy of Buckingham Palace. They are to take the outline as it is. So whenever they copy it, whenever they draw it, and they give it to someone else, or they pass it on to someone else, that person will look at it and say, oh, there's Buckingham Palace. Oh, that's what Big Ben looks like. Oh, that's what that person looks like. But maybe if they give you a bigger nose than what you have, or bigger ears than what you have, or whatever you want to put on, or maybe if you're well known with Buckingham Palace, maybe they may put on an extra window, or they may do something different. And what do they start to do? They start to change the sketch. They start to change the pattern. What are they doing? They have gone from taking what was before them and then adding what they want to put in. Well, I think, you know, Big Ben should always have this, and, you know, I'm going to put that in. Well, that's not on Big Ben. Or maybe you've had a picture of yourself, and
whatever, one eye bigger than the other, whatever it may be, and say, well, that's not, I don't have that.
And what they have done, they have changed it.
And so that's what this word pattern means. Hold fast the form. Hold fast the pattern.
Keep the pattern. Keep the standard. What Paul is saying, Timothy, here's the gospel. Here's the pattern. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't deviate. Don't make something else out of it. But give it as it has been given on to you. Now today I understand there are those who have changed or seeking to change the gospel message. They water the gospel down. Leave things out to try and make it more pleasable, to try and bring the crowds in. But Paul says to Timothy, when you are teaching others, when you proclaim the gospel, here is the pattern. What was given to me, I have given it to you. I haven't changed anything, Timothy. I haven't left anything out. I haven't put my own twist on it. I haven't taken the gospel and made it into Paul and give it to you then for you to make it into Timothy and give it to someone else. I have just given it to you as it was given to me. And what you are to do is to give it to others. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not part of it, not some of it, not just what I've given you, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Therefore, it is the whole pattern. When you preach the gospel, preach the whole life of Christ. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And remember, the church at Corinth were a troubled church. They wanted to live the Christian life their own way. And they brought into the church what should have been left out of the church. And as Paul dealt with these issues, and no doubt would have stirred some hearts and some heads, Paul said this. Here was his answer. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. I give to you what the Lord has given to me. And may that always be the case in this pulpit. As I come to preach God's word, may I always give to you what God has given to me. Not what men say, not what is the latest thing, but what God has given to me through the word of God. You'll be assured I'll not be coming in. We're going to cover at some point the life of Joseph. Don't worry, you can be assured I'll not be coming in to you saying, by the way, I just had a dream last night, here's what the Lord wants me to say, or I had some hallucination or some Facebook text from heaven, all this nonsense. What I give to you will be from the word of God, because that's holding fast the form of sound words. That's keeping the pattern. That's staying true to God's word. Therefore, parents, in teaching your children and having devotions at night, reading the word of God together, praying together, give sound words. Give the life of Christ. And in this congregation, from preacher to pew, in all we do, whether it's preaching in the open air, whether it's other works of God willing, we will seek to start again in anything and in everything, even the Lord's table, whatever it is, we hold fast the form of so we keep the pattern, because God's work must always be done and will only advance when it's done God's way, in agreement to God's word. And that is to hold fast the form of sound words or healthy words. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word.
Don't be a clown. Don't be an entertainer. There's plenty of those. Be simply preach the word. Wherever to see sinners saved and see them grow in grace, give them the pattern in the word. Believer, if you want to be strong in the Lord and live in the power of his might, follow the pattern, because all you need to live the Christian life is before you in this book. And the Holy Spirit will never lead you against God's word, but will always lead you in agreement to the word of God. Therefore, here is the pattern. But notice thirdly, very briefly, the protection of sound words. Paul says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. As we said already in the introduction, the word hold fast is one word. It means to keep, means to maintain, not to let go, to protect, to guard. And you consider what we've said already. We are to guard that. We are to keep that. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, protect, guard, maintain the preaching and teaching of God's word. Pass it down. Don't deviate from it. Don't change it. But it's been committed onto you. Why is that? Because Paul said to Timothy, again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, why, Timothy, you are to hold fast. Why you are to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you hear that? The time will come when they will not endure sound or healthy teaching. When people will come into a church and they hear Christ being expounded, and they hear the only way to heaven is by faith in his life and in his death. What new doctrine is this? Get me out of this place. Get me to that place down the road that tells me I can get to heaven any way I want. They will not endure sound doctrine. There will come a point, even for God's people, that to sit under the true preaching of God's word, it will become hard. Because so many of God's people want to live the Christian life their own way. They will not be able to bear up with it. They want a message that preaches them. What does he go on to say? There will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The phrase there, itching ears, means to tickle. And the idea means that they will come a point when they will desire not to hear what they need to hear, or not what God says through the preacher, but they will want to be in a place that they will hear what they want to hear. That they will go through all the different churches and have a wee list. And when there's one that makes them comfortable, doesn't mention the blood or doesn't mention sin, doesn't mention all this stuff, and just, I can just be casual here and it's okay and come and go and not matter. They'd be more interested in something sensational, something up to date, something casual. A reason why church is a place that is cool to come to. However, we don't come to God's house to be entertained. We come because we delight as the people of God to hear words concerning God's eternal plan of redemption in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to hear his love letter for what he's done for us, that we were on the road to hell, a lost eternity. And had he left us on our wild career in our sinful state, we would have ended up in a lost sinner's hell. We would have got what we deserved. But in mercy and love, he saved us. We can't understand it. We can't take it in. I used his name as a swear name. I laughed at people coming to church. I wanted my own way. Yet he saved me. He redeemed me. He chose me. He loves me. He provides for me. He continually blesses me day by day. I'm unfaithful to him, but he is faithful to me. I change every day, hot and cold, but his love for me always remains the same.
He loves his people. That's why we come to God's house, to worship him, to glorify him.
That's why we should delight to be in God's house. On Sunday, it should be our thrill to be in God's house.
Because as we do in the days of Ezra and in Nehemiah, when the people gathered as families, it was to hear the word expounded from the law. Even in the tabernacle, you read in Exodus 35 and 33, when the people gathered unto Moses, they heard the word that God gave to Moses for them. And then after, they departed to do that word, to live out that word, whatever it was. And that's what we do when we come to God's word. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Or chapter 4, verse 5.
I have to get it right because it's behind me.
Chapter 4, verse 5. We preach not ourselves. The day this message is all taken up with me, there's something wrong. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And it is my aim, my desire, that every time we come under the sound of God's word and we leave with a sight of Christ, that we see none save Jesus only, that our hearts are warmed by the life of Christ. For the Lord Jesus said in John 12, verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men on to me. Uplift Christ in your preaching, in your prayers, in your practices, and Christ will draw his people to himself. That's what London needs. Uplifting of Jesus Christ. Notice finally, briefly, the practice of sound words. Again, Paul said to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. We said that word sound, it means healthy. It actually comes, or that's where we get our English word, hygiene. And the thought behind this word sound, this word healthy, means cleanness, or to be clean. And you will know during the last 3 years more than ever, there has been a strong emphasis during the whole coronavirus time, a re-emphasis of cleanliness, washing of hands, and much more to prevent the spread of infections and to help protect yourself. And you've heard on TV or the news people saying it's a good practice. It's something we always should have been doing, but we have stopped it or we've forgotten to do it. We're not washing our hands. And the whole point is, this is a good practice. And so Paul is saying here to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. And by doing that, God's people will live clean lives. Their practices will be in agreement to the word. Isaiah 52, verse 11, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. John 15, verse 3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Let me say this. When we listen to teaching that is Christ-centered, then our practices will be Christ-centered. Otherwise, we will live our Christian life according to our own pattern and live out our own practices. To place Christ anywhere else is to go off course. And so when our doctrine or teaching is biblical, then our practice will be biblical. When our behavior is of the gospel, then as a result, our belief will be in the gospel. And so those who are saved, those who hold fast the form of sound words, will bear much fruit. For the Lord said in Matthew 7, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruit. John 15, verse 1, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So, in closing, as Paul said to Timothy, you're a young pastor of the congregation. Here's my advice to you in a day of declension. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me. What I have taught you, simply just give that out. For sound words are required both for the justification or pardon of ungodly and unrighteous sinners, but also for the sanctification that is continually going on with God, growing in grace. That's what sound words are needed. And therefore, we pray for preacher and congregation that as we go forward and we see God move, God will only move as we hold fast the form of sound words. If you're ever a sinner to reach heaven, it will be by the true preaching of God's word, not your own way, not man's way, but by coming God's way. Jesus said, I, referring to himself, am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on to the Father but through me. That means you can't come to God through the church, through Mary, any other ism, any priest, any religious rite, whatever it may be. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ. Miss Christ, you will miss heaven. But you can be saved today. You can have your sins pardoned. You can be assured today of heaven by resting fully and only in Jesus Christ. And the same goes with God's people. To live the Christian life, it's not the church and the world. It's not the Bible and everything else. It's seeking to live for God and to glorify him for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.